Information Orange. Day is Thursday, August 2nd, 2018. First up, roll, Commissioner Bailey.
Present.
Commissioner Anderson.
Present.
Commissioner Cohen.
Present.
Commissioner Johnson.
Present.
Commissioner McLean.
Present.
Chair Conway is present, and Vice Chair Herring is absent but excused. Next up, we have visitor comments. So if there is a yellow card for visitors that are not on the agenda, there is nothing there, everything is for. Then in that case, we'll move on, thank you. To staff comments, any staff comments this evening, Mr. Kasha?
Mr. Chair, just before you, there are two additional written testimony that was received after the packet was mailed to you. It's for TC 779, and both are in place.
Okay, thank you. Next up are the consent agenda items. There are minutes from the last time we met, which was July 5th, 2018, and TC 777, which is part of restrictions on the north side of Southwest 9th Street, east of Hall Boulevard, approved the revised final order from that meeting. So, I make a motion to approve the consent agenda items. Commissioner Bailey.
Question, did anybody end up looking to appeal the decision from this? Do you know, Mr. Kasha?
If anybody is going to appeal it, it will happen after you adopt the final written order. Mm-hmm. So they have not received the notice of the decision notice yet.
Okay.
It hasn't been approved.
Thank you.
Is there a second?
Second.
Commissioner Bailey, second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes, which is 2-4-5-0, with one abstained by Commissioner Johnson. All right, next up, we begin the public hearing portion of our meeting. We have two this evening. Need to read the opening statements for the hearings. These will apply to both of our public hearings. Traffic Commission will now hear hold a public hearing on issue TC 779, school speed zone and crosswalk, and TC 780, turn restrictions in Southwest 130th. The hearing will begin with a report from the city traffic engineer, followed by testimony from the person who submitted the proposal. City traffic engineer's report will list the applicable substantive criteria and the reasons behind the recommendation. We will then hear testimony from other interested parties. If you wish to testify, please complete one of the yellow cards available, and I think we've got pretty much everyone here. So, nice job. Evidence from the testimony must be directed to the criteria in section 6.02.060, determined to be applicable if city traffic engineer or other criteria, current city, metro, tri-met, state, or federal laws, which you believe apply to this decision. After the hearing is closed, the commission will deliberate on the evidence received and make an oral decision to approve with changes, or deny the proposal. Decision will not be final until a final written order is signed by the chairperson. All persons who testify will receive a written notice of the final decision of our commission. Decisions of the commission or recommendations of city council become effective after approval by council. Typically, traffic commission recommendations appear as a consent agenda on the council and are approved by council without discussion. City council ordinarily does not conduct a public hearing on such recommendations. Any decision of the commission may be appealed to city council and appeal. When properly filed, a separate hearing will be scheduled before city council. Any appeal must be filed with the city court within 10 days of the date of the traffic commission's final written order. The procedures related to the written appeals are available to the city traffic engineer and from the city court. So those will apply to both of our hearings this evening. So,
Mr. Chairman, do we want to approve the minutes of the last meeting or delay that till later in the meeting?
That was the minutes of the agenda?
Was that part of it?
Yeah,
okay. We presented on both.
Great, thank
both
you.
Both together?
Yeah. Okay, so, yeah, good point. We probably should make clear that we're everything on there's one consent agenda. So, okay, TC 779 school zone, school speed zone, and crosswalk 135th Avenue at Singleton Tree. We'll begin with comments from the staff report. Mr. Kasha.
This request was from Mr. Rick Quentin, who is the Director of Public Safety in the Beaverton School District. He asked for a marked crosswalk, school marked crosswalk on 135th at Singletree. Mr. Quentin indicated that there are many students and parents that they cross the street before and after school at Singletree. The posted speed limit on 135th Avenue is 25 miles per hour. It is classified as a two-lane collector street. And it carries approximately 1,100 vehicles per day. That's two-way traffic. Currently, there is a stop control on Singletree and on New Forest Drive, but there is no control on 135th Avenue. There are curb extensions on the north side of the intersection, and those were put in a few years ago, basically to reduce the speed of traffic and improve pedestrian safety by reducing the crossing distance for pedestrians. And also, pedestrians are more visible to drivers when they're standing waiting to cross the street at the curb extension. Overall, the intersection has a good side distance from all the ends. Pedestrian count was performed at the intersection of 135th and Singletree in June of 2018 during school arrival and dismissal. This was done just before school was out. The count showed that in the morning between 7:30 and 8 a.m. there were 28 children and 29 adults crossing 135th Avenue. And between 2:20 p.m. and 2:50 p.m. during dismissal time, there were 32 children and 16 adults that crossed 135th Avenue at Singletree. National research and guidelines published by the Federal Highway Administration recommends installing a marked crosswalk at uncontrolled locations, intersection without stop control or mid-block crossings on a two-lane roadway if the traffic volume is low and the intersection or the location has good side distance. And also they recommend that at least there are 20 pedestrians utilizing the intersection or the crossing. Also, to have a school crossing to be marked as a school crossing, it would require a school speed zone. Most of the time, those school speed zones are more effective at high speed locations. But since the area around the school, it all has speed zone wherever they have a crossing. So staff also is recommending to add a school zone there, school speed zone. The Oregon revised statutes in areas that are not adjacent to the school. That means the crosswalk is not next to the school property. You have two options. You could either have the school speed 20 when flashing, or you could have a sign saying school speed 20 when children are present. On low speed streets, especially on residential streets, there is no difference between the two. Both of them have the same effectiveness. So staff is proposing to mark a crosswalk on the north side of the intersection of 135th and New Forest Drive, and also establish a school speed 20 zone when children are present 200 feet north and south of the intersection. That's all I have.
Very good. Cool. A couple questions. Very good. Thank you. Commissioner Quinn?
Just to clarify, the marked crosswalk would just be a painted crosswalk with no flashing beacons, is that correct?
Correct.
Thank you.
But it will have school crossing signs.
Okay, thank you.
Commissioner Davis.
Yeah, one more question. Mr. Gosho, why is staff recommending to put the crosswalk on the north side only? And I asked just thinking if children were walking on the south side of the road, they'd have to do a C pattern to get back.
Yeah. Because the school is on the north side of that intersection too. and the north side already has the curb extensions, which is additional safety feature, I think, section. So we likely utilize that location. And most of the, from our observation, most of the children were crossing at the north end.
Most of them on that side, anyhow. Thank you.
Commissioner Henry.
Mr. Cosho, you mentioned two options. One was the flashing beacon, and one was the 20 mile an hour when children are present. But there's a third option, and it's actually what's used on New Forest Way, or no, it's on
Single Tree.
It says 20 miles an hour between certain times. It's like 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Wouldn't we want to match that?
That option, your statutes, that option is allowed when the crosswalk is adjacent to the school.
Got it. Thank you.
But there's no school property on Single Tree.
That's your, thank you. The other question, I guess, is the school proposing to put crosswalk people there?
The school permitted to have a crossing guard during arrival at the same time. Yes.
And they can't do it until there's a crosswalk in
there? Yes.
Okay.
They will not, because it will not be signed, so they will not have anyone there. At this time, children are crossing without the crossing guard.
Okay, but sorry, so they can or can't have a crossing guard if they don't have a crosswalk, is that? I guess, why isn't there one now, and why is it?
There isn't one now. They don't have a crossing guard at the intersection at this time.
Correct. Is that because they don't have a crosswalk, or? I guess if there's an issue, safety, people are ignoring the speed limit according to this, then there's already an issue out there.
I understand this, but typically you have to have a marked crosswalk as a school crosswalk to have a crossing guard on.
Perfect.
It doesn't mean you cannot have, you know, one without the markings, but then drivers will be caught by surprise when they see this person there without the advance sign telling them, hey, there's a school crossing. At least for drivers from outside this area.
Okay.
Typically people who drive the area, they live there.
Excellent, thank you, good information. Any other questions? Okay, with that in mind then, we will open the public testimony portion. I have two cards. Again, if you want to speak on either DC 779 or 780, please fill out your card and get your order check. So taking the order they received, the first one I have is for Christine Savage. And the green card up there, it's for our minutes and recording. If you could follow along and state whether your name and address, whether you're for or against, and whether you represent yourself or others.
Okay. My name is Christine Savage. I'm the homeowner on New Forest Drive. And the address is 9565 Southwest New Forest Drive. And I am in favor of, as a parent, who has lived there for 8 years and had kids go through that intersection on a daily basis. I had three incidents just this last school year where I could literally pull my child's arm to get them out of the road. I also work with the school district as a crossing guard. And it's a scary area because on the other street on Davies, there's a crossing guard there, there's speed bumps, so people cut through Single Tree and take 135th to avoid the speed limit and the speed bumps that they're crossing. So it's scary.
Any questions? Thank you. Next car we have is Marcy Freddy.
My name is Marcy Freddy. I'm a homeowner. I live on 9753 Southwest Appalachia Place in Beaverton. I'm representing myself, and I also am in favor of any traffic changes that would make this a safer crosswalk. I have two children who both attend Hyden, and we bike to school every day, in an effort to just be really fit citizens. And, it is a scary crosswalk, a scary crossing. And I definitely observe also in the afternoon crossing, even though the curb comes out, there are many cars that park along the side of the road right there, and the visibility is really, really low coming away from the school with all the cars that are parked there, and you almost have to walk into the street to see any oncoming cars So I'm, you know, I'm not comfortable having, you know, even my fifth grader cross right there by himself.
Commissioner Johnson?
Thank you guys for coming out. I guess I should have asked Ms. Savage as well. Do you have a preference on the signage that would go up if it's approved, whether it be the flashing beacon or whether it be, you know, that when kids are present?
I don't know that I do. Having a crossing guard, having just a person there would be my ultimate preference. Exactly what the signage is, I don't know, I don't have a lot of experience about how that would affect, how the, you know, which one would affect traffic, I mean, how it would be different.
I don't know if this thing does this.
I don't know, so you guys are about single street, right?
That's our.
This will be my crosswalk, yeah.
Does that affect that speed of the sign on single street? Does it affect people or?
It does for me.
People in northern school zone on single street, absolutely no, no one knows it's there.
Because there's no crossing.
Really small number of kids cross.
We'll get to that, but I guess the question right now is just in your opinion, not to put you on the spot.
Oh, no, I suppose if I had to choose, I'd say a flashing light, like anything that would be more visible, I think would be, it seems like it would have a greater effect, but I'm no expert.
Very good, thank you. The next card I have then is for Norman. Carl?
Carlson.
Carlson.
You already said my full name. I'll say it, Norman Edward Carlson. Before she introduced me. I live on this street, so I'm just a homeowner. I live at 135th and Singletree, so I'm in the corner there. The corner that has the yard look nice, not the compost yard corner there. I'm in favor, certainly, of a crosswalk, right? I see kids constantly, you know, crossing there, young adults riding the bikes through there, parents, family, walking the dog. Our sidewalk is wide, so we have a lot of foot traffic on our side of the street. So definitely in favor of a crosswalk. Just on the north end, the south end people, if they needed to cross to the other side of the street, they would cross on the north end, and then there are stop signs on both Singletree and New Forest where they come into 135th. So just the one crosswalk is very logical. That would be less expensive than two. A sign that has it matching the one on Singletree where it's, you know, 7 to 5 or whatever the school hour, same sign zone that is on Singletree, seems to make the most sense to me. You know, the best case scenario for a crosswalk ever is those little flashing things in the street. You push the button and they flash. But I don't think, you know, we haven't had any one hurt or anything like that I know. But it is challenging to cross there because, as the previous people talked about, if the weather's great, both sides next to the church and next to the park are full of cars. People drive there, they go to school, pick up their kids, they play at the park. Sometimes an hour, sometimes 2 hours. There's people that are constantly, if the weather's great, and then they mosey on home. So if anyone's traveling during that time when all those cars are there, you really go quite a ways out into the street. They fill up that area, and then they come and park in front of my house as well on wonderful days or first day of school or, you know, all that. So there's definitely, it seems unsafe, and this certainly seems warranted to me. You know, whatever signage you choose is, you know, whatever the best, you know, that's what your council people make that decision. But it seems logical to me that the simple sign would be the certainly less expensive, easier solution. I don't know where you would start. I know that the church has a school, and they cross halfway between Brockman and this intersection and take their kids over to the park and play. So there's certainly kids crossing there, and it is a school. It's not a school district 48 school, but it's certainly a school that has kids crossing. So I don't know where you would even start the school zone, right? But it would be logical to have people driving slower next to the park, if possible. Do you guys have any questions for me?
I think we're good, thank you. Okay, so I just have the three cards. See, nothing else then, we'll close the
question.
Testimony. Oh, sorry, Mr. Fade.
For staff.
Okay, sorry, so we'll close the public testimony portion and go back to staff comments. How about Mr. Kasha go first and follow up with his commission date?
Staff doesn't have any comments.
Okay.
Just two clarifying things for Mr. Kasha. One, you said the type of sign, whether it's the flashing or when children are present, one doesn't have greater effect than the other, they're both equally as good, correct?
Correct.
And the other thing you said, if I heard it right, the reason you can't put the school hours on the sign is because it's not within a certain amount of feet of the school.
It's not adjacent to the school.
Not adjacent to the school. So because of that, the most logical is to put when children are present.
Yeah, that's the original revised statute that you can see.
All right, okay, so one follow-up to that. If you put when children are present and there are people playing in the park, does that suddenly make it a school zone?
It's when the children are in the sidewalk. You know, if they're in the park, they're in the park, they're not in the street crossing. But the presence, you have to read the house to find the vehicle. It's when your children are on the street or crossing, basically. So if a child is walking in the sidewalk, that's children are present.
Okay, Commissioner Anderson?
I'm just looking for the safest thing for the kids. I mean, if you restrict it during the whole day or during school hours, that would be ideal, but are we not close enough to the church school? I mean, the technical church property goes all the way out to the street right behind this house.
But most of the church school, those kids don't walk to school. They get driven by
no,
their parents.
No, this would be an excuse for us to have a long
No, it's also, you know, defined that, you know, if they're yeah, it is a school, but you have these 20 miles per hour school zone is where children are crossing and going to school.
I know, I'm just concerned that if there are a lot of cars along that street, it's not going to be readily visible to the driver that there are children present there. I mean, that's what I'm concerned about.
So drivers cannot...
I mean, some drivers might not see the kids until the last second. I mean, they're not going to know the children present. It's just
but,
the car going.
But
yeah,
there will be an advance. There will be an advance sign before even the 20 miles per hour. It says school crossing ahead, so drivers already have the warning, and that sign will be in regardless. You know, it's got a flashing beacon or not, or certain time. You have the advance sign first. It's got the school sign, and below it there's a cap says ahead. So you're already warning drivers that there are kids crossing here or expect kids. Then the speed limit will kick in 200 feet before the crosswalk.
Okay, so would the flashing beacon go 24 hours a day then? Or would
so
it just...
Flashing beacon...
If there was a flashing beacon.
If there's a flashing beacon, the flashing beacon will flash during arrival and dismissal time. So it's only the 20 minutes or so. That's if there's a flashing beacon. It's not going to flash all day.
Is there a huge difference in... I mean, do we have the budget for that? Or?
We don't have the budget because the flashing beacon will cost around 70 grand to have
okay.
Flashing beacons in. Because those we don't use solar for those because we want to make sure that when you say school speed 20 when flashing and there are kids there, that it will work in the winter time when we have great days to solve your own hot wire and it costs almost 70 grand to have it in.
Thank you.
Commissioner Johnson?
I answered.
Okay. Commissioner Bailey?
I think staff did a good job on their homework on this one, and based on written and public testimony, I'd like to make a motion to approve TC 779 as written to approve the request to mark the school crosswalk on the north side of the intersection of Southwest 135th Avenue and Singletree Drive / New Forest Drive and a 20 mile per hour school speed zone when children are present for approximately 200 feet north and south of the crosswalk.
Second. Okay. Commissioner Bay made a motion. Commissioner Henderson, second. Question clarification then, on the way the motion is written, then it is up to staff to determine which signage or flashing light or timing is.
No, it's in there. It's written that it'll be a 20 mile per hour school zone speed when children are present.
Well, that's the school, that's the zone. I thought that was not clear, the sign, the ultimate sign. I guess that's what I want to make sure. So my question is, I understand how it's written. I understand we're establishing a 20 mile an hour school zone when children are present, but the decision between whether this, the type of signage and the light is up to staff, correct?
No, the sign would be when children are present.
Okay, thank you.
Have a good one.
Yeah, just final deliberation real fast. I think I'm in favor of the signage when children are present, for the reason is you're going to get more hours where it's 20 miles an hour versus just that 20 minutes of arrival at this time. So that, in my opinion, that's even better. Okay. Even if it wasn't a cost difference, in my opinion, I like that sign better.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries 7-0. Or sorry, 6. Let me count. Thank you. All right. Well done. I appreciate everyone's input. We always appreciate
Mr. Kosher. Once approved by City Council, do you know the estimated timeline to get that in place? A month or two?
No, the minute council approves it, we can have the signs in the week also.
Okay.
We can get it out quick.
Great. Thank you.
Perfect.
They still haven't painted the stop signs, the white stop strip, so when they do that, since everything was just repaved there.
Throw it in there?
You'll have them out there anyway, at least for the crosswalk part, if that makes sense.
Okay, so then, just done that, done that, done. Okay, the opening comments for public hearing still apply in this case. So for TC 780, turn restrictions in Southwest 130th Avenue and Allen Boulevard would be in the staff report, Mr. Cutter.
This request was from Mr. John Duggar. He requested prohibiting left turns on 130th Avenue at the intersection with Allen Boulevard. He indicated that the visibility is limited at the intersection due to the brick wall on the southwest corner of the intersection and the grade of the street. Mr. Duggar is concerned about the safety of drivers making a left turn onto Allen Boulevard. The pavement width of 130th Avenue near Allen is 38 feet. There are an exclusive left turn lane and right turn lane. It is classified as a local street, and 130th between Hart and Allen is split into two classifications. So between 17th Street and Allen Boulevard, it's a local street. South of 17th, it's a collector street. And the reason why is 17th Street and Erickson, also a collector. So the collector street basically jogs to 17th to get people to the signal at Erickson and Allen Boulevard. The posted speed limit on 130th is 25 miles per hour. Evaluation of the side distance at the intersection and field visit to the sites verified that the wall on the southwest corner of the intersection actually restricts side distance. And also the trees on Allen Boulevard also interferes with the side distance. So to be able to see traffic coming, you know, from the west side, basically the driver needs to get almost to the edge of the traffic lane to be able to see. During the visit to the site, it was observed also that many of the drivers who were driving north on Allen Boulevard are turning onto 17th Street, Erickson Avenue, basically to utilize the signal on Erickson to make a left on Allen Boulevard. So drivers are already using Erickson instead of continuing on 130th and make a left on Avon Boulevard. During the most recent 5 years of available crash data, there were 3 reported angle type crashes that involved vehicles turning left onto Avon Boulevard. Staff is proposing to restrict left turns from 130th to Avon Boulevard, and also adding guide signs to tell drivers that you could make a left or go west on Allen by using 17th Erickson to get to it. Erickson Avenue and 17th, it already has speed humps on it, so the shift of traffic will be probably most drivers will be driving the speed limit or below because of the traffic calming devices on Erickson. So we're not worried about, you know, the speed increasing on the Erickson, although the traffic may increase. So we're asking the commission to approve the restriction of the left turns from 130th of to
thank you. So, thank you. One question as a follow-up. What happens to the lane markings in that area?
What we will do is we'll take all the markings out and just have a center line. So basically you will have one lane in each direction. So the lane will be wider, but it will only serve one way.
Okay, and then the signage is only on the right-hand side, or sit
on. So on the stop sign, that's currently at the intersection. We add additional signs below the stop sign that says right turn only. Or the other option would be no left turn below the stop sign. You could have either one.
Okay, and there wouldn't be anything in the center of Allen, the island?
No, because still people are making a left from Allen onto one area. We can't have any barriers in the center of
Allen Boulevard. Okay, very good. Commissioner Nimsey?
Just a quick question. Will there be any pavement markings of the right arrow?
Yes, it will have right arrows in the
gate. Thank you.
With the sign there that says no left turn, if somebody turns left anyhow, let's say they get into an accident or something, is there any additional consequences, like an additional citation or?
It'd be a failure to obey a traffic control device, so just like running a red light.
Same thing, if there was no accident, if somebody were to turn anyhow, still correct. A violation, correct?
Correct, it'd be the same violation. It's enhanced though if there's a crash.
Thank you.
Okay then, any other questions then? Then we'll open the public testimony. I have 2 cards. One is for John Ruger.
Hello, John Ruger. I actually the original requestee of this. I also happen to be chair of the Highland NAC, which this has come up a number of different times in our NAC. Very spirited, but it has been unanimous every single time. And I don't want to say that everyone in the neighborhood would be supportive of this. I don't have that information. But what I can tell you from both anecdotal and from the conversations at the NAC, this is an insanely dangerous intersection. Jobber mentioned the 3 accidents. I saw them all, or the aftermath. But what didn't show up in the data is I've also seen probably just as many almost accidents there, where people pull out and they have to cross two right or two eastbound lanes to turn left there to go westbound. There's a really big grade, so coming up from Erickson, there's a hill. So in addition to not being able to see because of the brick wall, you're coming up a hill and people pull out and then they floor it because a car is coming that they didn't see, and so they end up swerving and doing all this crazy stuff, and then it kind of freaks with the traffic on Allen. People don't know what's going on. It's just really unsafe. Another thing to consider is when you're turning right there, And I've seen this a number of times. Good luck, because sometimes there'll be a lane of like three cars wanting to turn left, and it is difficult enough to see right when there's no car there because of that brick wall. And if you haven't seen it, you really, really should see it. I'm shocked that it was allowed to be like it is, but if you're turning right and there's cars there, I've sat there 5 minutes before waiting for people to turn left, and then the next car comes up and blocks it, and you can't see. And you know, I've also seen people just pull out and turn left because they've waited for like 5 or 6 minutes. You know, and people get frustrated. So in my mind, it's a I don't know if I should say poorly designed, because I think these things just kind of happen, but it's very unsafe. The discussions we've had at the Neighborhood Association have been near unanimous, if not unanimous, that this not only is bad, but it's dangerous. And it doesn't reflect our values in the neighborhood to have something like this. So I would encourage you to help us make this change to make Highland and Allen and the drivers and the pedestrians there safer. Thank you.
Question, Mr. Kahn?
Sure.
Just to clarify, you guys did not actually take a vote?
No, that's why I said I couldn't. But
thank you. That's it.
Okay. Any others?
Thank you. Appreciate it. And I appreciate the NAC kind of working on that as a NAC chair. I agree with that. So appreciate that. Next up, I have Quinn Simpson.
Hello. My name is Quinn Simpson. I'm a homeowner on Southwest Heather Court in Highland Neighborhood, and also a board member of the Highland NAC. John Dugger mentioned most of what I wanted to cover, I think. I just did want to cover two additional items. One, obviously, regarding that intersection is pedestrian traffic along the south end of Allen as it crosses over past 130th to continue west on Allen. I've witnessed myself a number of times as I'm making a right there and another car making a left, and luck of the draw or bad or good timing, there also happens to be a pedestrian there. And both I and drivers who are making left are paying so much attention to vehicular traffic that, and I noticed this, it's much more difficult to pay attention to pedestrians crossing that too. So I think holistically it's also a pedestrian issue as well as a vehicular issue. And then this was just more of a question. It was good to hear that there was a plan to have a right-facing arrow painted to help communicate to drivers that they're restricted to a right-hand drive. I personally have also seen, I'm not sure what the rules are around this, but an actual lane marking that kind of moves towards the right to help guide drivers, rather than just a lane marking at the intersection that is straight ahead. In my experience, at least, it's been very clear form of communication through lane markings. When I see that, they actually kind of guide drivers towards the ring.
Okay, so I got you. Question? Perfect, thank you. I have two cards, so with that in mind, we will close the public testimony portion. And are there any final staff comments? So is that a question then that they can, I guess, would you make basically a triangle to kind of churn to kind of reiterate that it's a right turn only, or is that not done, or does that change the crosswalk? I guess in the question of pedestrian crosswalk as well.
At that occasion, it's stop control. So the crosswalk doesn't add any safety to what we have. Also, if you mark the crosswalk, it's got to be 10 feet wide. And that might push the stopping little bit to the south. So it becomes really difficult even for the driver to see anymore. So they have to encroach in the crosswalk and then to the lane. So it might make things even worse than what it is now. I'd rather keep this stop line where it is. And like I said, we'll take all the lane markings, we'll just have the center line. And the right lane basically will have two arrows. one at the stop line and one probably 75 feet a little bit to the south. So if somebody is waiting in the front, the driver coming in to see that it's traveling.
Okay. And Commissioner Wade?
Since there is no public or written opposition to this, I just want to say I'm in favor of it.
Thank you. All right, I have one follow-up question. Is there a plan to put westbound traffic churn on 17th to go up, or is there going to be any direction, or is it a reminder of traffic control change, kind of? I'm thinking of where you go, like, you know, westbound only, eastbound only, and then the sign would say eastbound Allen, westbound Allen, back at the churn.
Yeah, just at 130th at 17th Street, you will have a guide sign. It will be a green sign with white letters saying Allen Boulevard westbound with that arrow. So drivers will turn before they get to the intersection. But actually, most of them are doing it right now. Regardless, there's a sign or not. People who know the area, they get out at the signal. It's sometimes people who live within that block between 17th and Allen, you know, they have parking lots, and so they get out and they want to get to Allen, they just make the right and the left on to Allen from 130th. Because they live there, they used to it, you know. Now we have to force them basically to go make a left, get to 17th, and then to the city. So it's a little bit longer, but I believe it's worth the trip.
Right. Okay, thank you. Commissioner Henderson?
Yeah, I think this is going to benefit the drivers who don't necessarily live in the neighborhood, because I was in an Uber car 2 weeks ago at that exact same intersection, and the mapping software was telling them to turn there instead of going 17 and using the lighted X. And, you know, he's in a hurry, he's making money, and there was no way to get out. There was rush hour. He had to go across three lanes, and he gunned it and just got missed by getting to him. So it's actually the neighborhood people who know how to get around that, but the outsiders don't. So I'm all for this.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Commissioner Klein?
Again, I'm in agreement with everyone else. This applies to so carrying money on B for safety. I think we should do it.
Then I would make a motion to approve as. Let me do this right away. Make a motion to approve as written TC 780 turn restrictions on South 23rd and Allen Boulevard, restricting left turns on 130th and Allen, installing guide signs to direct drivers to signs on Erickson Avenue. And
number four.
And remove the paper markings on the left turn line. Thank you.
I'll second.
So, Chair Conley motion. Commissioner McLean second. Final discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes 6-0. Perfect. Then we have old business, Mr. Kasha. Any new business?
Yes.
Yes.
What staff does?
New business, I received an email from Commissioner Beatty regarding changing the traffic calming procedures for the voting. So I replied to all of you, and I said we could discuss it tonight to see what you're looking for. But staff needs to do the research on this before we come in with some revisions. And at future meetings, we'll bring what the research results and what we think that is, if a change on what it is, and we could talk about it. You know, we could have several iterations or several meetings until to come to a final conclusion on it before we go to City Council for approval. So tonight, you know, if you want to discuss, just let staff know what you're looking for, so we'll focus our research on those points that you are looking to change.
Okay, thank you.
And at the last meeting, I was asked, you know, about how many cards were sent and how many yes and no's, and I just gave you an estimate at the time. Tonight, I got the numbers. For 130th Avenue Traffic Calming, we sent out 116 cards. And out of those, we got 36 cards with a yes and 21 cards with a no. Percentage-wise, the yes is 31% and the 21 is 18%. So that's why the project failed. We did not get the 67%.
And Mr. Chair, I just want to point out for the public, you're more than welcome to stay for this discussion. You don't have to. You know, for you two, especially though it's talking about the traffic calming that is near your neighborhood before. And so the topic of discussion is with the traffic calming, you know, the speed humps, when those projects go through and get approved by City Council, even if they're funded, when these voter cards go out to the public, if you don't vote on it, if you get the card in your mail and you ignore it, as far as the city's concerned, it's a no vote. So that's why 36 yeses to 21 no's, the no's still win, because all of the non-votes are no votes. And so I wanted to bring it up with the traffic commission to change that, to make it a yes is a yes, a no is a no, a non-vote, it's excluded, just like any other ballot voting. So with that, I know I brought it up last time, and it's in the minutes from last time that I wanted to bring it up to discussion. So I guess going forward, I think the best thing for us to do is come up with some questions of staff, maybe some proposals for a new system, give staff the next month to come up with some answers to our questions, so that perhaps the next meeting, whether it's September or October, we can then vote then and say, you know, we want to make a resolution to change it to this with this wording, and then bring it up to the City Council for the next meeting.
Yeah, I'll just add some of my opinions. I think, I don't know if I want to make a change that a non-vote counts as a no or a yes. I think we can look at those different circumstances. I understand it's a challenge for the neighborhood if they put all that work in to, you know, request a call meeting and have the meetings and come up with a plan with the engineer, for it to fall short during the voting process. That'd be very frustrating. But at the same time, we want to make sure that the neighborhood's in agreement. And if we're not sure they're in agreement, I don't think we would just want to take an abstain as a yes or no. Like you're saying, we would just, you know, exclude it from the total count. But we don't really know what they're thinking.
Right, but at the same time, if they might think, yeah, that's a great idea, and they're in favor of it and don't vote. So I don't think it's fair that a non-vote becomes no, because, and you know, that person might be thinking, yeah, it's great. And maybe they forgot, maybe they didn't submit it, whatever.
Yeah, and I think that's the challenge with this, the traffic calming, because there's so much involvement before that final voting process. I mean, I think better steps would be to educate them during the traffic calming request, during the individual meetings for the plan to come together, what they agree on. There should be maybe some better education to say, hey, we really need to get community involvement to get those votes. And I think another opinion I had is we can look at the total, like maybe we can do, you know, from 67% to 50%, or if there's less than 50 cards sent out, maybe we can look at different scenarios that would apply. I think the challenge is, and God has mentioned this in the past, is, you know, you make a decision on a minority group of people for that neighborhood. You know, you put in stop signs, you put in speed humps, you know, can't take those out easily. You know, those are in there, and to get it out, it's going to be a lot more work than it was to put in. So I think we just want to be 100% certain that if we're implementing a traffic calming, that there's a majority neighborhood agrees with that. And I think that's the challenge we're facing now. So we believe they agree with it, but we don't have the cards coming back to them. So we don't know if it's a yes, we don't know if it's a no,
right.
We don't know what they're thinking. And if we, even if we did just take it, just what we the people sent back, you know, in that example, it's just one of many examples, but like, even if it's like a 31% to 18%, you know, meaning we need like a minimum response. So we say, hey, we need to have 50% response, and then we'll just take it flat out. I think we just need to put some other criteria in there instead of just saying, you know, let's just take the response.
I agree with you, and I agree that we need to educate, and maybe it's through the NACs, maybe it's a different system, and we do need to have involvement. But at the same time, this isn't the 1950s. People don't go door to door and talk like they did decades ago. And so I think myself, I live in a very safe, older neighborhood, and if I went door to door with a petition or something, I would imagine half the people wouldn't even open the door. And that's just the world we live in. And so, well, I think we need to educate and get people involved. Sometimes you're just not going to be able to. And then last point on this is, of the ones that have been approved and the ones that are existing, I've never heard of anybody complaining of them, especially the newer style that's got the ruts for the fire trucks. Most people that drive on those either agree that they're not a burden and they don't impede their movement, and just because there's something permanent tough to come out, I don't think is a reason to not put them in.
Okay. So I want to make sure we kind of educate or re-educate or remind them. It takes 75% of the property owners to get this on the Traffic Commission request, correct?
No, how the process, you know, first, you know, depending on the speed and the traffic volume, if they qualify for the program or not. If they qualify, basically the 85th percentile speed must be 5 miles over the posted speed limit.
Right.
That's how it starts. Then staff will send a petition form to the requester to collect signatures, and they have to get 51% saying that we want to start a program. And 130, and we didn't have a problem doing this.
Okay, it's 51% of the property owners in the area.
To
start the traffic calming request.
Correct. Because I want to make sure that we
are clarifying that. 51. So in your example you just used, you set up 130 cards.
116.
Okay, so you set up 116 cards. So at some point, 64 or whatever it is. 58, thank you. 58 people signed a petition saying to go ahead, or we have different numbers?
It's to start the process, we don't go inside streets. We just count, we just include the people who are on the street itself. You know, the minute you have traffic calming devices, then the criteria says you have to go 250 feet from the last traffic calming device. You have to go 250 feet on the side street. To get the petition to start the process, it's just the people who are living on 130th. Basically, their homes are facing 130th Avenue.
So in your example, how many signatures did they have to get the process started?
They have to get 51% of the numbers who live on the street saying yes.
Could they have been 36?
It's more than that.
It's more than that?
It's way more than that.
Well, I guess that's one of the questions then would be, what's the difference between, because I know what Commissioner Beatty's saying, and I didn't understand what Commissioner Klein is, but the question has always been, what's the percentage of what number of where? So what's the typical number of signatures needed to get it on start versus the total number that's needed at the end? Because in this case, say that the section was 60, property owners, that's only 30 signatures, it's 31 signatures to get 51%. Then I get this all set up, and now I need 116 cards now from a number that started with 60, which in essence almost doubles the number. So, I guess that's the kind of question is, what's the difference between the number of section that requires the 51% versus the final number of cards that are sent out that require 67% approval?
Yeah.
Okay. That would be.
But the number of units between the two, between the third phase, two of the process, and the third, last phase of the process, it doesn't double. I mean, the side streets, you know, you add two homes, basically, by the time you count 250 feet, it's 2 to 3 homes on the side street, on each side. So it doesn't double, you know. And 130 is a long street. And if you, even if you consider just the cars that were returned, you know, what the total is 57 cars that got returned, 36 plus 21. And if you do the percentage of the 36 of the 57, they only got 63%. Even if you use this, they didn't meet the 67%.
Yeah, and I think we don't want to make, you know, big decisions on one example. I think over the years since the traffic calming project's been around, I don't know how many have failed the final phase. I don't know percentages off the top of my head. I think it's definitely worth the discussion, and I can understand the frustration of a neighborhood going through this process and getting to the end and being like, oh, we didn't get enough votes. So I definitely understand frustration, and I think we want to improve that.
Right.
But we don't want to necessarily lower the standards of what we've done with the previous traffic calming.
Well, that's what I want to understand, the number of count. What's the number that took to get the 51% and then the total number of cards that were sent out? And then, because it's the total number of cards sent out that determine the 67% to pass, correct?
Right, so you're saying if you mail out 100 cards, you've got to get 67 of them come back to say yes, correct?
Correct. Well, also if the people could abstain too. And if they abstain, you could take that card from the total number.
Sure. So regardless, it's out of every 100, 67
is
yes.
Yes.
And the other ones, doesn't matter if it's abstain.
No, if it's abstain, then it will be 99 cards as the total.
Oh, so abstain actually takes it out.
Yeah, it takes it out.
But I'm assuming you get very few of those.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
So the car drive failure, that was more controversial than this one, because wasn't it the non-votes that actually killed it, it was they would have made the threshold to get those speed bumps.
Yeah, there was many no's on the cars.
Yeah.
So I guess for the commission, like I said initially, I think we should come up with a few questions, perhaps via email, get them to the staff to try and get to the next meeting. Just initially, not studying this in depth, my opinion would be to simply change the criteria to make it 67%, keep that higher percentage, but of the cards returned. And if they're not returned, they're not counted.
I would agree with that.
And the other thing, Mr. Kosher, for you, if you are able, not tonight, but for the next meeting, I would like to know, in so that we can let City Council know, how much does it cost in staff time and dollars for these projects? Let's say the one on 130th, from staff to go out, evaluate, set up everything, the initial speed tests, then the meetings, then the public hearings, the staff time to figure out, you know, how much funding do we have, and then it goes nowhere. And not down to the penny necessarily, but, you know, are we talking hundreds, thousands, 10,000? How much is in staff time is being wasted?
I can give you hours in my, I'm not going to get into the nitty gritty. I can tell you how many hours we spent on it. And if council asks for that, I will do it. But at this time, you know, you don't know how many hours, I can find this for you. And I'll leave it there.
Thank you. So I guess for a commission, unless anyone opposes, I say now let's perhaps bring up 67% as a return, and in the meantime, generate any additional questions for staff so they can fill those questions for the next meeting.
You could ask, but I need to do research to see what other jurisdictions and other states are doing to make sure our program is working correctly. Because, as I explained before, those traffic calming devices, they go in people has to watch it because they have to leave. And going through the process, so far I haven't seen one that was taken out. People tried and it never happened because they truly want it. And that's why the percentage is this high, to make sure that the neighborhood is satisfied with it.
That would be, I guess, a follow-up too, is to know if there's a, I guess, legal can check, city attorney can check to see if the state, if there's a state requirement on a minimum number. I mean, you're going to go 67% yes of what percentage, is there a minimum percentage they need to take? You know, what if you sent,
it's,
what if you got 10 cards back and 8 people said yes and 2 people said no, but that's 8, that's 10 cards out of 116.
Yeah, you know, would you consider a project if that case happened? Ask yourself.
I think that's a good point. I think there should be a minimum amount because in the event 10 cards were returned, it kind of skews the numbers.
Right.
So that's a good point.
I think you mentioned 50%, right? Earlier, that 50% vote and based on.
Right, well, his comment is even if hundreds of cards go out, only 10 are returned. Well, it takes
so if you have a minimum that 50% of people have to actually vote, then you take 60% of what you receive.
Yeah,
60%
of your cards. Yeah. Commissioner Johnson had a question.
But I think we also need to get to the root of why people aren't sending it in. Is it because it's just going into the spam mailbox, you know, give a sample? What kind of efforts being put forth to notify them additionally? Hey, there was a card sent out. If you didn't get it, you can do it. Our signs getting put up in the neighborhood to maybe remind people. I mean, because my kids get the mail, quite honestly, and sometimes certain things get dropped and or recycled prior to me seeing them. And so that just might be the case. Wait, what's the time frame? I kind of want to look at
that's a good point.
How to get the numbers up organically, and I think we might get a better feel for the neighborhoods.
Is there any way that we could get a sample card of what that, or maybe one from the past? See what that looks like?
Sure.
Okay, because that makes me think of some political ballots or posters to go out, and some are very confusing where it's double negatives, and if you vote this, you won't get this, and other ones are very clear right at the bottom. It says, if you vote yes, it equals this. So
or even just like the signs that go up for the traffic commission meetings, you know, I just think of the one that you have on. That's for the single tree one. Some kind of signage that's visible for, you know, as you're driving by that catches your attention. Is it, what are we doing to notify the neighborhood of that?
I think historically, in my experience with, you know, even going back years, with the traffic common, there was always a group, sometimes an individual or a group of people that were kind of spearheading that request and spearheading the organization. So those are the things I think, you know, obviously someone's going around collecting signatures. Someone has to do that. So those are some kinds of contacts to help, you know, they've done all this work, they've met at least 2 meetings with JABRA to determine a final plan. So I think during that process, there just needs to be that. I think many people think, oh, we have to agree on the plan, we're good to go, and then they don't realize that, no, they need to vote.
That's another step.
Yeah.
During the meetings, we explain pretty well, you know, what's required and how many cars they need, and we encourage them to go canvass the neighborhood to return their cards. And we also explain that if somebody tells you I lost my card, we're willing to make a new one. Even we work with the neighborhood to the last minute where they tell you, hey, I lost my card, I need one, and we hand deliver those cards and get them back. We've done this in the past. It's not just we send the cards and you're on your own. What happened with Hunter is people said, yeah, just let us know when the cards are out and we will start canvassing the neighborhood. We tried to reach out and ask them, you know, hey, the cards are out, have you got any back? But no one had the initiative, you know, to go out and do it. I had neighborhoods that they got 99%. So it's it all depends, you know, if they're interested or not. Sometimes people come to the meetings, they agree on things, but inside them, they're against the project. You know, it's just there. And we've seen it here. It happens with our meetings here too. And sometimes people don't want to just say it, you know, out loud, hey, I'm against this project. And that's why things fail too.
Well, I say that we draft some questions to staff, draft some potential language, let staff figure out what other cities are doing, come back to the next meeting, reevaluate, and then perhaps the meeting after craft the final language if we agree, and then bring that to council.
Okay. Is there a meeting next in September?
So far, we don't have any issues ready to bring.
Okay, so basically, we're looking at the next two meetings. So the next meeting, we have maybe discuss it, and then the meeting after that, even if we skip one, then.
But there's no traffic calming stuff on the table now, so it's not like we're in a rush to do anything.
Right.
No, we're ready to. Actually, today we sent out the petitions for the neighborhoods that they qualified for the program. So it's going to be a while until we get the traffic calming project here. But I believe let staff first do the research, see what other jurisdictions are doing, what's the lowest out there, how it's working, we check with them, how is it working or not, or before even you propose any questions. That will give you some facts to then you could ask questions and what we could do.
Okay.
What's the procedure for areas where the vote failed? Could the folks on 130th then have to start over again if they wanted to try another vote?
They could start again, but I wouldn't start right now because it's the same results, same plan, same everything.
Yeah, Ron wasn't suggesting that. I was just curious if they could just have a revote or they need to start the whole thing over again and have another traffic commission meeting.
I really can answer this question, you know, because the process is set, and if you fail, that's it, you're done. I will not send it out for you. It becomes a game then, you know. So it's not a good idea to hold that to you, because you had your chance.
Very good. All right, we have a plan on that. Any other new business? Oh, deadline then. Sounds like there will be no meeting in September, so we'll see you perhaps in November or October, unless that one's changed as well. All right, we'll return. Thank you. And thanks for coming in and taking part.